Sumerian deities required the same necessities of life that humans did, just on a larger scale. They needed houses, clothing, and food, just like their mortal worshippers did. The deity was believed to be present in the temple in the form of a cult statue. Now, none of these cult statues have survived. They were probably made of precious metals. They are recorded as being made of precious metal and exotic material in the texts. These would have been preserved by the priests in the temple. They were or captured if the temple was overthrown. So it's very unlikely that a cult statue would be left for archaeologists to recover. There is a lot of attention paid to the cult statue, however, and they have a pretty good life. They get new clothes on a regular basis. So at major festivals, the cult statue would be dressed in new garments, often made by elite women in the city. They would get jewelry if they were female. They would be taken out of the temple to be paraded through the streets. And so this would give them a chance to interact with their people and also provide a nice holiday. Everyone wants to get out of the house. The temples were called the A, or the house of the god. And when we think about the lavish decoration that is recorded in historical texts as forming part of the temple structure, we have to consider who would see these materials. We know, of course, the exterior of the temple would be widely available for anyone to see, and since it was on a platform, it would be visible likely through most of the city. But as far as the interior of the temple goes, we don't know how open or closed they were to the population of the city or the worshippers of the god or goddess. Probably it was relatively restricted to priests, temple officials. A temple might be opened for visitors on certain days. We don't have evidence that gives us this specific information. But the interior decoration of the temple was intended to please the god or goddess who was looking at it, not necessarily to impress visitors to the temple. The sanctuary of the temple was where the god lived, and the cult statues represented their divine presence. We have records of many workers who were involved in the temple, both to care for the cult statue, but also to provide for the temple household at large. Many of these workers were what we would call priests. That's an anachronistic term. But they would perform the rituals, and they would ensure the religious functioning of the temple continued. If we think more broadly of what other people who worked in the temple did, we should imagine that the temple was a household on a colossal scale. Gods are bigger than mortals, therefore everything they need is bigger than what the ordinary human would need. Let's start first with meals. Meals were served and placed before the cult statue twice a day, in the morning and evening, which is the schedule that most Mesopotamians followed as well. The meal likely consisted of the same types of objects that most people ate: bread, cake, fruit, beer, perhaps wine. So it's the same diet, but the quantity would be enormous. And it would serve a quantity, a meal that was intended for the god, would be sufficient, as it happens, to serve most of the members of the temple household. So, for example, if a temple of Inanna has 3,000 workers, which is not an especially large household, the meals that would be presented to the cult statue twice a day could potentially feed all 3,000 of those workers, and they would receive this food after it had been presented to the god. If you are going to provide food for the god on this scale, then you must have large fields. Again, if we keep the idea that the temple is a household on a large scale, temples have to have agricultural fields to support and provide for this household.